Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. All right. Got some lots of great stories for you. Let's start off the week on a low note.
Wow.
Officer involved shooting under investigation in Middletown. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Happened Saturday morning. Police said an officer shot 52-year-old Winston Tate after Tate attacked the officer. This story stuck in my head because when I first read it, it said that the officer was shot.
Yeah.
That was not the case, thankfully. Police responded to the 100 block of Liberty Street around 6:30 a.m. after they received calls for a disturbance. The report said that a man had been yelling and smashing glass. It was initially reported that Tate shot the officer. However, police said Tate attacked the officer with a blunt object as soon as the officer arrived.
Oh.
Tate knocked the officer to the ground and climbed on top of him.
Okay, not good.
Scary.
Yeah.
That was when police said the officer shot Tate to avoid being killed.
Yeah, that's usually when you would do that.
Self-defense, yeah.
I'm pretty shook. I've lived here for 25 years, and I've never seen anything like this before. It's a quote from a neighbor.
Yeah.
Well, there's that.
Yep.
25 years, never seen anything.
Yeah, well.
There's more on this.
Okay.
It's a different town.
Right.
But it's all the same reason.
All right.
We'll get to it. All right. Here's the headline. Six suspects in custody. Four Meriden officers hurt after a 48-hour crime spree.
Jeez.
Two suspects were adults. The other four were juveniles. Police said the suspects stole cars and robbed stores and people at gunpoint.
Oh, boy.
Four juveniles.
Mini crime wave, yeah.
One of the vehicles involved in the case was connected to an armed robbery that happened in Torrington. Torrington police said a woman and her young child were approached by a suspect who wore a mask. The suspect showed them a handgun and demanded the woman's purse. The suspect fled the scene in an SUV occupied by several other people. Somebody followed it, got its license plate. They looked it up. Turns out this thing was involved in some other crimes.
Right.
Officials revealed that a Meriden police cruiser with two detectives inside was involved in a crash with the stolen Mazda on South Broad Street. In a separate incident, they were also suspected of driving head-on at a Meriden police officer.
Wow.
And civilians. And swerving away at the last moment.
Cool. Cool.
This is a quote, an unprovoked act of aggression toward the community, said Lieutenant Shane Phillips, Meriden Police. They deliberately were trying to engage with police, driving at them, taunting at them. They would drive down the street, do a U-turn, and come back to the police officer in a very erratic fashion.
Unreal.
I have to say, if I have a cop behind me, I'm just like nervous that I'm doing 2 miles over the speed limit.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, was that a cop? Let me turn around and screw with this guy because I'm on a crime wave.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No one's afraid of being arrested anymore.
Police said they then found three stolen vehicles with suspects inside at Hubbard Park in Meriden.
Oh.
The suspects lit one vehicle on fire as police approached, and they fled in the other two vehicles.
Oh,
awesome.
So it's arson now, too.
Quote, these individuals are suspected of committing a crime spree throughout the state over the last 48 hours. Here's a quote from the Meriden police chief. And, you know, police chiefs have to be careful what they say, because, they got a man, they got a whole political...
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to leave someone out there to dry.
Walk on eggshells,
yeah.
Well, politicians don't like to hear that they're wrong. And so if you work underneath a politician, you have to kind of just always, you know, you got to watch your words.
Yeah.
You got to expect you're not going to be helped in the future.
Here's the quote from the Meriden police chief. Many of these offenders are repeat offenders that are continuously released back into the community because of lower bonds and no consequences and without being reformed. Because of that, we are seeing criminal behavior escalate. This is increasingly putting our officers throughout the state in dangerous situations. There you go.
Yeah.
He said everything we all knew was going to happen.
Yep.
He said it all in a couple sentences.
Nice and neat.
The chief said whatever the state was doing is not working. Quote, we need immediate change to protect our citizens and officers on the front lines.
Absolutely.
And then there's in this Channel 3 story, there's a lawmaker quoted. Yeah, when we get back up there, I'm gonna put the bill in. But the boo, but the boo.
Yep. Then you can say, what?
Yeah. Okay. Good luck with that.
So a lot of things.
Great. Glad you're thinking of us.
Right.
This is a quote from a Meriden resident. This has to really stop. They can't just be released with no repercussions. But next week or soon as they. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, basically, they'll be out in a week.
Yeah. Probably less than 48 hours.
Yeah, when they started, just pulling out all the pins on police and crime and
yep.
lower the bonds, and we'll walk you through when we arrest you.
Yeah, here's your end result.
Yeah, we're not going to send you to jail.
Right.
We all knew this was going to happen, and we're not smart.
Nope.
We knew this. They knew it.
No rocketologist.
Everyone knew it, and yes. Here it is.
Yep.
I don't understand why the people in Hartford that make the rules are so motivated to help the bad guys.
I don't get
like,
it either.
What's
in it for them?
What's in it for you?
Yeah. There's got to be
something
involved.
Because if you look at a chart and graph, like who pays the taxes?
Yeah.
It ain't them.
No, it's us.
They're stealing stuff. They're right. Not paying sales. Someone should tell them, hey, you know these criminals? They're not paying sales tax. What?
Harumph!
Knock them up! That's funny, because if I don't pay my taxes, I'll go to jail. But you could not pay taxes and then screw everybody and still not go to jail.
Right.
I think what happened was they came up with a plan to help small businesses.
Okay.
Right. This was a great plan, like no red tape and this and that, and get people working and don't be an enemy.
Right.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And I think they took that plan and they're like, okay, we're going to apply it now. But they applied it to the wrong.
Right. Somebody stole it here with the wrong people.
It's like they're putting their small business plan in action for criminals.
Yeah. Well, we're getting
we got to cut the red tape. We want these criminals back being criminals.
Yep.
We don't want to charge them taxes. We don't want them red tape.
Don't want to be the enemy.
We want to treat them like they're productive members of society.
Right. Yeah, some guy lost in the translation. It's probably a page missing.
Yeah, this is how to help small businesses. They just took out small businesses and put criminals.
Right. Ah, flows much better like this. Let's do that.
I don't even know why. You know, we're all busy and stuff, you know.
We got to pay taxes, is why.
We're obviously working, and we see all this going on, and we're not really doing anything about it.
Yeah.
And if you want to see what it's going to be, if you want to look into the future, if you want to just say, all right, let's look into the magic crystal ball and see where this all goes.
Yeah.
Look at San Francisco.
Yeah.
Just start reading those stories, because this, if we don't do anything, they're going to let it slide right into this chaos.
Here's your menu coming up.
People just walking into stores, bump, bump, bump. Oh, yeah, I'll take this, I'll take that.
Right, take.
Got to let them go.
Now pay for it, take.
Just let them walk right out.
Yep, off they go.
Holy moly.
Can't stop
them.
What
the hell happened?
Can't deny them the privileges of taking things.
That's right, the privileges.
You know, because they can't single people out because they took things.
You know, I'm here doing radio because I was an underprivileged kid who had zero money. My mother was on welfare. She had mental health issues, and the government had a program for underprivileged children to train them in various work skills.
Yeah.
And it was everything from landscaping to, you know, you name it.
Yeah.
And radio station happened to be on that list. So I was like, oh, that
seems cool.
Great. And that's a great program. When you're spending money and you're investing in people and teaching them something that they could go on and be a productive member of the community.
Absolutely.
It's not helping them to say, we're going to lower your bond and we're going to just run you through the system and we're not going to put you in jail. That's not helping. You're not helping them.
Nope.
You are making that family worse.
Yeah.
You are destroying that family. Happy Monday. All right. My preaching is over now.
It's Monday, right?
That's right. I'm sorry. I was pissed. I see these stories. I'm like, we all knew this is going to happen. Yep. It's happened. And no. Where are these people? Where are those people in Hartford right now? Right. While this is happening, while the cops getting wrestled to the ground and getting a suspect on top of them, while cops are getting rammed.
Yep.
You know, while people are getting guns stuck in their face and the purse is taken and the car is taken, while businesses are coming out to a fleet of vehicles with their catalytic converters stolen.
All gone.
What are they doing?
Yeah.
I hope you're enjoying your summer.
Right.
Where are you summering?
Not here.
You having a good time this summer?
They got the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah. I don't know. I love this state. I just don't think it should be flushed down the toilet because some people just want to remain in power.
Yep.
You know what they do every time they pull lottery numbers? They hit the thing and all the balls go back in and they start with a whole new set of balls.
Okay.
That's what we need. We need new balls.
We need a new set of balls.
We need a new set of balls.
Refresh the balls.
Right. Refresh the balls.
Give us new balls in Hartford.
Really. Everyone should just be voted out.
Right.
We should just, why not? We should do a national election. Like, we either keep them all or blow them all out.
Right.
It's yes or no.
Right.
And that's it. The whole country votes.
Yep.
Let them go.
They
all of them.
Yep.
Every single one. And I know there's some that are fighting the fight and trying to do, but no, because then you start, then we'll leave this one. Then all the bad ones end up staying.
They've all been infected.
Yeah.
Through some way.
The good ones, we thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you.
The bad ones, get the hell out.
Right.
But you all got to go.
Right.
The nice thing, you know, they'll all get corrupted again because there's so much money going into the system. But what we'll have is, you know, that first day you go to high school and you're like, you don't know where anything is. So it takes forever to do. That's what we'll have. We'll have a bunch of people showing up. Like, do you know where my office is?
Right.
I got to make a copy. Where's that copy machine?
Just your third floor room.
Anybody see the coffee?
Right.
Where do I get coffee?
My locker. I can't get it open.
Yeah. We'd have that for a year or so for them figuring out how to screw us.
Right.
We're just left alone.
Right. Yeah. They're too busy trying to figure things out. Yep.
Right. They're trying to find where everything is.
Right. Then they'll screw us later.
Then,
So we have a year free of screwing.
And remember, you know, people used to retire at 65?
Yeah.
How do we have someone who's 80 running the country?
Seriously.
Who clearly can't speak.
Right. Would you give him the keys to the car? No. The one key to the...
And anytime I see him walking, I'm like, here it goes.
It's double.
Like, I don't even have the confidence of thinking he could walk from one side of the screen to the other. Do you?
No.
When you hear him speak, do you think, when will it come?
Right.
Or will it come? No, it's when will he say something where it's like, wow, you're gone.
Yep. Hello.
My dad died of dementia. And it's a very difficult thing to watch and see, especially I'll always remember the first time he looked at me and I could tell he didn't really know who I was. He was like, you look familiar.
Right. Can't place it right.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
This guy, his brain is Swiss friggin' cheese.
It is.
And then nobody says anything about it. It's better than Trump.
Yep.
It's like, really? There's no one else. We got no one else.
Right. No
300
one.
Million people.
Right.
No one else. That's it.
Right.
This is what we're going to do now.
This is the best we can do.
This is it.
Right. I'm in favor of releasing the bulls.
Release the bulls.
Release the bulls. Let's get new bulls.
Let's get new bulls.
Right. Brand new ones.
So Lionel Richie and Earth, Wind & Fire canceled their sold-out Madison Square Garden show Saturday night an hour after it was set to begin. An hour after.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the place was packed.
Right. Everybody's waiting.
The singer said he was unable to fly into the Big Apple because of the weather. Now, if you remember, we had like torrential downpour.
It was nasty.
It was nasty.
Yeah, hail.
And we would not want anything to happen to Lionel Richie.
Of course not. National treasure.
But here's the kicker.
Yeah, it's a kicker.
He was in Boston.
Oh, Jesus.
He played Boston on Friday, New York Saturday, and was going to fly last minute from Boston to New York.
Oh, he waited on purpose.
Now, he could have
anticipated the
weather. One of his many people.
Yeah.
Look at the weather forecast, because we all knew that thunderstorms were in the forecast for Saturday night. Now, you just have, you know what? Your job, among other jobs, will be to look at the weather.
Right.
Yeah. Just let me know if it's good to fly.
Yeah, exactly.
Or drive. Because that would have been a real easy limo ride.
Yeah.
From Boston.
Yeah, you're not driving personally. Just sit in the back of the car if you go.
Yeah. You're not driving.
No.
You just sit in the back.
Right. You're important. I've got a police escort. Go for it.
Right. It's like an airplane, but longer.
Right.
Same thing.
Right.
I imagine it feels like a rock star when you just walk off the plane, you walk into the building, and you're performing 30 minutes later.
And you go right on.
I imagine that's an incredible feeling.
Well, kick it old school.
It just can't be that way all the time.
Kick it old school.
Yeah. That's when you've done it so many times, people aren't even checking the weather for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Richie likes to fly and get off the plane and go right on stage.
Well, that's tough.
Okay, well,
now, there is no plan B. That's it.
Well, can I tell you the 20,000 fans that spent all the money for the tickets
and the babysitters
and the dinner and the hotel and
outfit?
All of this.
Yep.
Yeah. Thanks, pal.
Getting your hair done just so, if you're in the front row for Lionel.
Trisha, you're one of these people?
Yeah. Well, let me start off by saying my husband does not do concerts, does not do crowds. It was our 25th wedding anniversary in June. I said, come on, let's do something like really something out of the ordinary for our anniversary this year. So I saw that he was playing in Madison Square Garden. After 25 years, the husbands do what they do best. And they say, okay, honey, we're going to go to the city. So we made a plan to do this. And we bought the tickets.
It's called Shut Her Up.
Exactly.
Operation Shut Her Up.
It'll shut you up.
Exactly. And I, you know, he was always on my bucket list to go see. So anyway, we, as you said, the tickets were not cheap. They were $550 for two tickets. Bought the tickets. Yeah, not cheap at all. And then you add on the train, which is another $60. You get to the city, $50 for two hot dogs, some soda and everything, because we got there a little late, sat in our seats, $30 for the taxi ride. You know, it starts adding up.
Yeah,
yes.
We get there. We sat down. We're waiting. 8 o'clock rolls around, and my husband's getting fidgety. He's like, okay, when's this guy coming out? I said, you know, performance.
We're like children.
I said, you know. Exactly. I said, it's you know, what time is it supposed to start? I said, 7:30. Yeah, well, it's 8 o'clock at this point. 8:10 now. And now we're all starting to wonder what the heck is going on. By, I think it was like almost 8:30 is when the announcement came on. The sheer look of everybody's faces at that point, we're like, we felt like we were punked, literally. Like, this has got to be a joke. How can you make people sit for an hour and then, I'm sorry, but it's canceled. And then do you really want to come down Monday night to do this all over again? We are out like $400, let's just say, plus the tickets. So $1,000, let's call it. And you want to do this again on Monday? Like, who can do that? So needless to say, I asked for my refund and we are not going back tonight. And it just was terrible. And like you said, for the people that... I know, really, hot dogs. Well, we ended up going then getting a slice of pizza afterwards and then spent some more money. Well, this is another funny story. So you know those little guys that go around in little carts that pedal through the town? So we said, well, let's make it a little romantic going back to the train station. Well, that was another $60 we found out. It just went from bad to worse the whole evening. But we had to laugh. I mean, it was just like you had to laugh.
Yeah, what else are you going to do?
Horrible.
Yeah. That's exactly. The thing with shows now. If they say they start at 7 or 7:30, they start at 7 or 7:30.
Yeah.
They're pretty much right on time.
Pretty prompt.
To almost the second.
Right. Now! Yeah.
But to leave people, 20,000 people.
Yeah. You could have so prevented this by just leaving early.
Like, what was the thought process?
You know, a mass exodus. Like everybody said, you just screwed us. Sorry, but you just took everybody's money for sitting and eating in the stadium and drinking and all that. You just bamboozled everybody out of all this money, and now you don't even, the performer doesn't even come out.
Yeah, and I don't even think his apology was, you know, the quote, was due to severe weather and being unable to land in New York and surrounding areas. I'm unable to make it to the show tonight. I'm so bummed. We are rescheduling the show to Monday, August 14th. Can't wait to perform for you all. Tickets for tonight's shows are valid for the show on Monday. That's it. No, like, deeply apologize.
Truly.
I really screwed up.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he really screwed up. And then my husband's trying to say, well, you know, airfare and everything. I said, Kev, he's got a private jet.
Oh, yeah. No, he's not. Yeah. He's not flying on JetBlue, no.
He's not common American Airlines or JetBlue. Right. I mean, there's ways around this.
He's on Spirit. No.
Right.
And the kicker was we heard that Earth, Wind, and Fire was in the stadium, and they left a quarter to eight.
Ouchie.
Because he didn't show.
I was like, just let Earth, Wind, and Fire play an extra long concert. It's great.
Exactly.
Nah, you can't. Nah, that's complicated.
Yeah.
Once they go on, a show has started. Then you got to pay them twice.
Oh, damn it.
But wait, what did you say? They were in the building till when?
Apparently, I had heard they were in the building. They had left at quarter to eight when they found out that he wasn't coming.
At quarter of eight. And what time did you guys find out?
Not until about 8:30.
Let me make sure Earth, Wind, and Fire got far from the building.
Would they wait 45
minutes?
So
I don't know if that's true, but that's the rumor I was hearing.
It's a rumor.
They were there waiting for him to show. And yet they were with him apparently the night before, too. So how did they make it and he didn't make it?
Right. More like Earth, Wind, and Fire and rain.
Right? Right? I mean, Lionel Richie, why don't you take the train? Lionel, train. Take the train in.
No, but that's not point. Like, if you think about it, if the show was supposed to go off at 7:30?
Yeah.
7:30, yeah.
Yeah. And he was still in Boston at 7:30? They said, let's wait until everybody gets in the building.
Right, I can see it. It's going to be the announcement.
So we can make the announcement.
To
so
get
they're
back
all
up again.
Here to hear the say. We only have to say it once.
Turn the cameras on. Turn the cameras on. I want to see.
They're all on their way anyway.
Yes.
But if I don't know what a plane from Boston to New York would take, what a drive is 3 to 4 hours,
right,
depending on traffic.
Maybe a half hour, 40 minutes.
Right, just take the train.
Like, why wouldn't you just pull the plug a lot earlier?
Right.
Or if you just checked the weather, you could have got in a car.
Yes, you could. You could have showed up a lot earlier, spent some time in New York for a little while, and then do the concert.
We didn't even get to how this screws Connecticut.
Earth, Wind, and Fire went there.
So,
well, that's what my next point was going to be. I said, oh, maybe we'll go down and see them in Bridgeport on Monday. And then I'm looking at them going, well, wait a second. How are they going to play in New York City on Monday if they're supposed to be in Bridgeport on Monday? That doesn't make any sense. So that's from Connecticut. You just got screwed out of it.
Oh, boy.
How terrible. How can you do that twice?
Damn.
Yeah. If he just got in a car earlier, if someone just checked the weather, said this could be a problem, just make the drive. You're close enough.
Yep.
Now, if he was in Oklahoma, I'd be like, okay, I get it.
But you're close by.
You're Boston. Look at the weather.
Yeah.
Get in a friggin' car.
Right. Yeah. We leave early if there's bad weather coming.
Yeah.
Yep.
Earth, Wind, and Fire made it.
But then, now Earth, Wind, and Fire should have. Here's my thing, because this is on Earth, Wind, and Fire. Earth, Wind, and Fire could have said, yeah, we can't make the Lionel Richie show because we have a prior commitment in Connecticut. So find someone else to open for you on Monday, because
we
we're
got
playing
doing.
Connecticut.
Yes.
For a fundraiser.
Right. For a worthy
tonight
cause. Yes.
At the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater. And
now Derek Jeter can't come.
Exactly right.
Right.
That's right. So they move tonight's Earth, Wind, and Fire show to Wednesday. Jeter can't make it. It was supposed to be this whole Earth, Wind, and Fire. Derek Jeter taking your questions.
Right.
VIP. You meet him. Take pictures. All this thing. All for his Jeter Foundation thing.
Yeah.
Turn two.
Wow.
It's supposed to rain again.
Sounds
too.
Like Lionel. Apparently Lionel's made out of sugar. You never see him take a shower. And I just, Melton.
Right.
No.
All right. Well, things
happen.
Well,
here's the funny thing is,
funny.
Well, I go on last night to look at tickets, and there's so many tickets now for sale, and the tickets are literally half the price of what they were originally. So he's going to lose a lot of money in the show.
Yeah.
Or somebody's going to lose a lot of money, wherever it
he's
goes.
He's not going to lose a dime.
No.
That's the problem.
He should cut a check.
The rich guy should lose the money here. The rich guy who screwed up should lose the money, not the fans.
Yeah, you can afford to cut a check.
Yeah. It's tough. It's funny because concerts used to be so inexpensive. I was talking to someone at the OAR, Goo Goo Dolls show last night.
Yeah.
And they said they went to see Zeppelin when they were 14 years old at the New Haven Yale Bowl.
Wow.
And back then, when you were 14, you could afford to pay a concert ticket. You'd do your paper route.
Yeah.
And you could buy a concert
ticket.
Cut
along a couple of times.
Now it's like this whole financial deal you're going into. Well, the two tickets are going to be $5+.
Right. It's like
the
a student
hotel,
loan.
The ride in.
You got any payments.
The restaurant.
Right.
Yeah, you need a bank loan
you
to
do.
Go see a show.
You do. And co-signs. Yeah.
Which is fine. We did this to ourselves because we're paying the money. So.
Right. We don't pay.
Right.
But this sucks.
Yeah.
Sucks for you.
Damn it.
Well, this will be a 25th wedding anniversary story you'll have forever.
Yeah. Oh, you can remember this
exactly.
one.
Exactly. Yeah. I said, if I wasn't married, this goes down as one of the worst dates, and it was nobody's fault. But, I mean, you just have to laugh about it. Honestly, you do. I mean, and people such as us, people celebrating 50 years, there were all kinds of special occasions. We were talking about people around us, about why they were there. A woman that was there, we were sitting next to, she was supposed to go a couple of years ago, but COVID hit. Then apparently Lionel broke his leg or arm. So this was like her third time coming to see him.
Oh, wow.
I think she said, I'm not coming. I mean, like, after three times, she's like, I'm not coming back to try
That's
to see it. Again.
Three strikes are out. Yep.
Wasn't meant to be.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's a tough one going all the way into the city.
Ouch.
So, all right, Tricia, thank you.
Thank you very much for letting me share. You guys have a great day. You
Happy too. Anniversary.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Take
all
care,
right.
guys.
Bye. Sal and Bethany.
Good morning, guys.
Hello.
Just because of this loser that didn't want to get off his butt and travel from Boston down to New York, we can't go to the show tonight.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah. Right. Doesn't make any sense to me. You know, just get off your ass and do something. Sorry about that.
Yeah. No, it's all that, you know.
Always check the weather.
Just check the weather.
Always check the weather.
If you're getting in a plane, check the weather.
Check the weather. Yes.
Especially when you're close enough to drive. That's what makes it hurt.
Exactly.
You could have got in a car at 3 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah. It was in the forecast. We all knew it was in the forecast.
Right.
I was doing an event in Westbrook for
cancer
benefit.
It wasn't this, surprise microcell showed up.
I knew that the band might run into trouble later on in the evening. I already knew.
Ever since Thursday, they've been in the forecast for Saturday.
Yeah. In my event, there wasn't going to be, you know, multi-million dollars in motion.
No.
Swinging one way or the other.
Right.
If I don't arrive.
Right. Countless lives.
Yeah. It's like, take a look at the weather. It's a lot of money.
That's all you got to do.
On this thing.
Look at the weather.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
I'll tell you, he does put on a good show, though. I saw him at Mohegan Sun.
Yeah, nice weather.
Plays all the hits. Hits the notes. Yeah. All right. He must have got there early, so that was good. All right, you want to play Let's Judge a Celebrity?
Sure.
And then we'll wrap it up.
Absolutely, always.
We'll do dumbass news. All right, Let's Judge a Celebrity.
Okay.
Oprah Winfrey has split her time between the U.S. and Maui for more than 15 years. Isn't Maui part of the U.S.?
Yeah, yes. It definitely is.
I don't know why it's written this way then.
No.
I think they mean the mainland.
Like the continental United States?
Okay, we'll go
with that.
Yeah, that
would have been nice if they added that.
Right.
All right, so she's been going back and forth between the continental United States and Maui.
Right.
She owns 1,000 acres of land out there. You know, they're having the wildfires now.
Yeah. Huh.
So she showed up to help.
It's a little overwhelming, so I came earlier just to see what people needed and then went shopping.
Oh.
Because often, you make donations of clothes or whatever, and it's not really what people need. So I actually went to Walmart and Costco and
got pillows.
Shampoo.
Oh, wow.
Diapers,
that's great.
Sheets.
But okay. Only for her.
All right, wait. Even if she went shopping for all these people to help them or whatever.
Yeah.
Is she helping?
She's definitely making sure we know she's helping.
Right.
But the best way to help is just kind of do it under the radar and not say anything and not be interviewed.
Just do it. Just help.
Right. Yeah. Not saying, look, I'm bringing,
She brought a camera crew.
Right.
That camera crew, that's not local television. That's her camera crew.
Mm. Right. Look at the good I'm doing right
now. She brought a camera crew.
Right. And how do we know that food and pillows wasn't for herself?
89-something people dead.
Right.
Thousands of people lost their homes. Hey, I've got to bring a camera crew here.
They're still
finding. Let me walk around and tape me doing good
stuff.
They're
still finding bodies, and you're walking around, yeah.
Right.
Look at what I'm doing here. Tip
right.
Toe.
I'm buying. I went shopping.
Oh, don't sit with that. Yeah.
I'm buying pillows and sheets.
Right.
It's
right.
Okay. I'm a local.
Right.
She did say she left early, which was
she
better
did.
Than Lionel Richie, right?
She did.
At least she got there. Yeah.
She did make it. Woman charged with damaging robot in supermarket.
My hero.
You know those supermarket robots?
Yes, I do.
What does Stop and Shop calls there?
Marty.
Marty the robot.
I don't know what it does. It just seems like it's always in the way.
Yeah, why is it following me?
Right. It knows something. Damn it, I got to lose this robot.
Yeah, so let's go to St. Louis County. Prosecutors charged a woman with first-degree property damage after police alleged she knocked over an inventory robot.
That's tough to do.
Sure, it's an inventory
robot. That's tough to do. They got that balance thing going on, so she must have really whaled it.
Tally, the grocery robot, might be a safe and reliable Schnucks employee, but she was not safe from being pushed and shoved in the aisles. Tonight, Vadia Thomas is charged with first-degree property damage. She's accused of pushing over and damaging the robot back on May 9th at the Schnucks on Natural Bridge. Thomas also admitted to police that she knocked over the robot.
Oh, well, no.
I'm with her. 100%. Is anyone else with her?
I mean, I totally get it. I've wanted to do it.
Yep. Let's take a quick phone poll.
Okay.
Who's the bad guy, the robot or the lady?
Robot. Imagine going shopping on a Tuesday when you have both the robot and senior citizens in there. You ain't going nowhere. It's just you trying to get past something.
It's called an inventory robot. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's a spy.
No, I know what it's doing. It's got facial recognition.
Yep.
Yeah.
It identifies you.
Uh-huh.
It links you. Then it finds your face on Facebook, finds your page.
Yep.
Okay. Attaches itself to all of your friends, and then it
like
watches what you buy.
Like a leech, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Then it likes old photos.
Yep. Apparently, I'm getting ads for Kleenex, for Kleenex and lotion.
2:15 in the morning. Marty has liked your post.
Right. Marty just made friends with me. M robot.
It's liking all the pictures of AJ's feet.
Right.
What is going on here?
Exactly. Right.
Because it doesn't have feet.
No wonder it's following me.
It'll never have feet.
It has feet envy. Fenby.
You know, we have a lot of votes coming in for this lady saying she did the right thing. Knock
yeah,
these
definitely.
Robots over.
Yep.
No, I'm strongly anti-robot.
Me too.
I got a tip, an inside tip from someone who works at a store.
Oh, an inside
tip. That has one of these robots. And did you know that if the robot is right near the doors, if you hit with the cart, the robot will go out the door.
Oh, really?
Yes, it will.
Oh. Why is that?
I don't know. It just throws it
How out. Hard do you have to hit it? Just like a bump?
A little nudge. Boom, like you're bump drafting in NASCAR. Yeah.
Yeah.
You give him a nudge by the door, he'll continue on because he just moves forward to get out of your way.
Oh,
so if he's pointed towards the door.
And you nudge it.
That's how that robot got out that time in the parking lot.
Oh.
Someone hit it.
Oh, well, maybe it's going out there to rough you up. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll see you in the parking lot.
Right. How about that?
Yeah. Me and my truck will be waiting.
Your truck.
You'll see googly eyes stuck in my treads.
Your truck would flatten that thing.
Oh, let's do it. Let's do it. I got the brush guard in the front. It won't hurt my truck at all.
Man. And those robots aren't cheap.
No, like 35 grand.
I want to hear from this lady, though. Let's get her out.
Yeah, she's our hero.
Yeah, what happened? Something
How did she knock
had
down?
To have happened.
Like, this thing's following her.
Right.
And she must have said a couple things. All right.
Right.
Good.
Right.
Yeah. Knock it off.
This thing's leering at me, suggestively. I saw those blue eyes wander.
You know, the next thing is going to follow you around saying, you sure you want to eat that cake?
Exactly right, yeah. I wouldn't have that bread if I were you. You need a carrot.
Have a salad, lady.
Wow.
I like your toes.
Right. Marty the robot.
All right. Well, we've been talking about this Glastonbury tickler.
Right.
And we did a story about a guy who was sneaking into bedrooms and tickling and fondling
women. Yes.
Feet.
Yep.
And we started taking phone calls, and someone called up and said, oh, well, there was a Glastonbury tickler.
Yeah, in the 90s.
In the 90s.
Yeah.
And this is an onion that just has many layers. We just keep peeling and peeling and finding more and more stuff. And
yeah.
We were talking. There was a whole task force.
Yeah, tickling task force.
The tickling task force.
Right, special tickling task force.
And now it turns out that there's a book loosely based on this Glastonbury tickler.
Wow.
From a person who was a reporter with the Glastonbury Citizen while all this was happening.
Huh.
Teresa Kramer is on the show now. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Yes.
So let's go all the way back to the beginning. You're a reporter at the Glastonbury Citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Then what?
Well, so I was actually a reporter at the Glastonbury Citizen after it had all ended. I grew up in Glastonbury while it was happening.
Okay.
And then my first job out of college was at the Citizen as a reporter for a few years. And as you might imagine, I was curious, but no one at the paper, you know, as you know, no arrest was ever made. And so there was no official story on it. And there can sometimes be a lot of downtime at a weekly newspaper. So I thought it would be fun to kind of write my fictional version of it.
Right. So you didn't go undercover.
No.
So you never covered this as a reporter.
No, I didn't. No.
Okay.
He had stopped. I started there about 2003 and, yeah, 2003. So he had stopped a few years before that.
Yeah, they say you ran from 91 to 98.
Mm-hmm.
7 years.
How old were you in 91 and 98 during that period?
I was born in 1981, so 10 to about 17, I guess.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
And did you hear about this when you were 10 years old?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if I heard about it at first when I was 10 years old, but
right.
It was definitely everyone in town knew about it. You know, in high school, everybody talked about it.
Tons of wagon.
Yeah. Frightening. And, like, were you guys doing anything different around the house? Was it like, all right, we're going to bed, make sure all the doors are locked?
They called the summer.
You don't want the tickler coming in.
It was the summer of shoes.
Yeah. No. Actually, no, and I don't really know why. I wonder. My mom and I lived with my grandparents, and my grandfather worked shift work, so there was a lot of weird hours being kept in our house, so
right.
Maybe just no one really cared, because he might, like, you know, break in while everybody was awake and then just be out of luck.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Then this story comes and goes, and you eventually become a writer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you know who did this?
Any speculations?
I do. So the book, you would not get that from the book, because at the time of the book, I had no idea who did it. But maybe about 7 or 8 years ago, I was talking to someone in the know from the time who knew I wrote the book. And he said, you know, we know who did it, right? We couldn't arrest him, but we know, we had a talking to with him. And I listened to your interview from last week with the former police officer, and it sort of jives with what he said, which is they did a couple of interviews and it stopped, right? And so the person's never been arrested. It's not public knowledge, but he did give me one clue, and I was able to guess who it was. So,
nice.
Really?
I think, yeah. Uh-huh.
And without going into naming names, can you give us a little bit of a profile of the person? How old were they? What did they do? Were they from the community? Did they have a family?
Figure of power, maybe?
Yeah, well, not a figure of power. He worked in town. I think there was probably some mental illness happening. Like, I think if I went back to a lot of my schoolmates and gave them the same clue, they would be able to guess exactly who it was. So he was not a figure of power. He was, you know, I know there were a lot of rumors going around that it was a cop. That's not who it was.
Okay.
Yeah. So he was, I'm not even sure if he's still in town. I don't know if he lived in town or just worked in town. That I don't know. And I honestly don't even know his name. I just knew him by sight and sort of other markers. But
okay. You said some mental mm-hmm. illness involved. I think that we all knew mm-hmm. anyone who's going to break into a house and tickle mm-hmm. a woman's foot.
Yeah.
Has a problem.
Has some issues.
It's something a little off.
It's
there.
More than just a fetish.
Right.
Person, if they worked in mm-hmm. town, did they have a job where they came in contact with the victims?
I don't think so. I doubt it, because it was mostly like older adult women, right?
Right. Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's certainly possible that he came into contact with some of them. I don't know who they all were, but my understanding is that he was always just kind of breaking into the houses that left their doors and windows open, you know? So I think it was more of a just, you know, who was naive enough to leave their door open tonight, and I'm just going to try doors until I find
until,
one.
Yeah.
Okay, so but then know. That, yeah. But you have to know a little bit more of what's going on.
Yeah,
than just
in
doing
there.
That because there could be a dog, there could be a man.
Could be all dudes.
It doesn't sound like,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like he knew a little bit more.
Yeah, like he figured out who
about
it was.
The neighborhood and the houses that he entered.
Yeah, like he stalked.
Yeah, I mean, also, I don't know about you guys, but my dogs, like anyone closes a door outside, they start barking. So
right.
He might have been able to tell. And maybe he was local and did know. I'm not entirely sure where he lived, but maybe he did know neighborhoods well enough to know who lived where.
That's interesting. So you take this story mm-hmm. when you become a writer and you mm-hmm. and you use it for a book, but it's not, you know, it's not a complete account of what happened. What did you do with the story?
No, I was wrong. I was wrong about who, well, I can't say I was wrong because I completely made it up. But
no, but if you say you were wrong and then you made it up. But you've had an idea of who you thought it was, and that's who you made up?
Well, I mean, if you know Glastonbury fairly well, you know there's plenty of, like, local weirdos you might have thought it was.
Yes, really? I want to go to Glastonbury you know?
Just
right now.
Just to look. Just to see.
Yeah. I'll fit right in, right?
Yeah.
Local weirdos.
Won't even notice us.
Yeah. I don't know if they're all still alive and kicking, but in the 90s, there the sort of suspects were plentiful, I think. And but... Just entirely based on like, oh, there's that weird guy that does this thing and everybody knows who he is, you know?
Right.
And that's not who it was. Right. So, so in my book, that like a sort of fictionalized version of that person is wrongly accused. And then it turns out to be someone else as the crimes escalate. But, yeah, so it's very different than what happened because as we all know, like he just stopped and never did it again, as far as anyone knows, unless he's driving far away and tickling feet somewhere else.
Maybe he's in California now.
I know. Yeah, there's a lot of them. It's when I wrote the book, I had quite a few people reach out who said, oh, we have a foot tickler in my
town. Really? That's wild.
Wow. It's almost like an occupation.
It's mm-hmm. a thing.
Yeah.
It's really a thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. We have Teresa Kramer on. She's a writer and an editor, and she wrote a book about, it's called Fiona versus the Foot Tickler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like a good like Netflix like miniseries.
It's like
something.
A children's book.
No.
Yeah. It's like the new Murder, She Wrote or something.
Right.
It's not very scary, but it's definitely.
But no, you have fun. You have the building blocks of a really good one. You can make it scary. You got to make it scary.
You can, yeah.
You know?
You could. I mean, maybe I could go back and write the true crime version of it, right? And it never escalates, and it's just this weird thing the town lives with forever. And I think that's sort of the more interesting part of it. It was just like, yeah, we have a foot tickler. No one knows who he is. He just stopped, and, you know, everyone knew it, but it
right.
just kind of, you know, lived in the background.
Yeah, will he strike again years from now? We don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, no, I think it has to escalate
yeah.
in the series. I think it has to get...
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, it starts out as, someone broke in and tickled a foot.
Yeah.
And then it becomes.
Yeah. These are funny bodies. They've been tickled to death.
Jeff in Middletown.
Hey, I don't want to say the name of the person.
Please
you know,
don't.
I just want to ask her one question. Did his initial start with A and J?
I honestly don't know what his name was. He was like a figure that I knew of, but I didn't actually know his name, so I couldn't tell
right,
you.
Right, right. So listen, Mr. Wiseass. I didn't live in Connecticut.
Oh.
Maybe he wasn't talking about you.
I know. Well, A and J. Come on, let's do the math here.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good question.
Your laugh gave you away there, pal.
People need to know.
This is sort of how the whole thing came up on the air, though.
AJ has a foot fetish, and he once...
Oh.
We were... all having a meeting in the studio, and our person at the time, Pam, had flip-flops on, and she put her feet up on the counter. And then what happened, Phil?
He just sort of like with one hand just went like right. on the sole of her
they
foot.
Lunged yeah. at like it was this just, like you snapped.
It right. was like he couldn't even control his hand. And then he's like, oh, feet on the counter.
Kind of like my hand.
We're all like, what does that mean?
I couldn't control my hand.
Yeah. No, we were all shocked by that.
It's he's cool like, feet on the counter. That's what happens.
That happened in my house all the time.
Since when?
In my house.
What rule is that?
In my house, it had, my family did. Yeah, if you had bare feet or something like that, you got tickled.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah. Cousins, everybody, just how it was.
So right. people work, work meeting in that people, moment, you
people,
were like, yep.
People weren't uptight back then.
These are rules.
Yeah. It was just
okay, so if you're in a conference room at a staff meeting and you have flip-flops on, your legs are crossed, and the person sitting next to you tickles your feet, you're okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as they're okay.
So if Keith tickles your feet,
oh, no,
you're
Keith,
fine.
No, if it's a dude, they get their nose forced into their brain
okay,
by my heel.
So it's a sexual thing for you because you want a woman to do it.
Well, yeah, you want a dude doing anything to you? No.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is how it all started, Teresa.
Yeah, so
that's
back,
why
back
someone called up with his initials.
Right, exactly. So just that's not weird.
I'm going to have to revise the book now and work
absolutely
into the story.
Right. Thank
Here's
you.
The funny thing about the book that Ruth spotted.
What's that?
Is that one of the suspects' name is Chaz?
That's funny.
In your book,
wow, with an S or a Z.
Yeah. How are you spelling Chaz in that with an S?
That's a great. I don't remember. It was so long ago. I'd have to go back and read it again.
Wow. But.
It was with a Z. Mm-hmm.
With a Z. With a Z?
Wow. Yes.
It's Chaz with a Z, sir.
Chaz with a Z, sir.
Wow. 91 to 98. I was out of here in 94.
Right, so you're
so
out.
So it wouldn't be me.
I didn't grow up here. I didn't get here until 2003, so right. I'm out. Phil?
I was a child. I wasn't anywhere near that area.
Don't use youth excuse.
I think it was Ruth.
Oh, yeah.
That would be the twist.
That'd be cool.
It's a woman the
Everyone
whole time.
Everyone thinks it's a guy.
Yeah. It's a chick the entire time.
And they
time.
Have you believing it's right. these two or three guys the whole time.
Right.
And you're like, it's mm-hmm. one of them.
Right.
And then it turns out it's the female investigator.
The one no one would ever think of.
Yeah.
How she knew all these things.
All right. We put it together for you, Teresa. Okay,
nice.
There you go.
Right.
All right. Yeah. I'll do the sequel.
Nice.
All right. So is the book mm-hmm. available? Like, can we buy
it
this?
It's on Amazon as an ebook. I had taken it down, actually, before this, but I figured I'd reactivate it since
yeah,
we're going to be talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. Fiona versus the Foot Tickler. We'll link mm-hmm. up on the radio station website. Thanks for coming on.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.